This podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President, for more than 20 years, helping Americans plan their retirement years with confidence. And now, InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the March 29th edition of InvestTalk, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. We try to fill in the information gaps you might have by the latest news in the world about the world of money, investing and managing it, protecting it, growing it. We'll answer your questions live during this hour, 4 to 5, like we do every day, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 Pacific time, of course. And, of course, you can call anytime you want, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at the same number, 888-99-CHART. And we'll get to the phones in just a minute. Target dated funds might be a bigger gamble than you're willing to take. Why target dated funds are off target for many investors. That's one of our main talking points today. And if you've listened to the show any length of time, you know I'm not a big fan of target dated funds. And you know why, but we'll talk about it later on the show. Now, have you seen our new InvestTalk Insider look? If you're already an InvestTalk Insider, you know what I'm talking about. We have vastly expanded content. There's a wealth of content from name brand sources of financial news and information everywhere. And here's some examples that are there right this minute. An article including data that reveals the best time to buy and sell a home in your area. That's from Most Money. That's from where that is. 15 of the smartest things you can do with $500 right now. 5 ways to save and pay for college. From Bloomberg, what comes next after UK triggers Brexit talks? From the Mortgage Report, don't think you can buy again after bankruptcy? Actually, you can. News from CNN Money, Amazon buys Squall in big play for Middle East market. Tax-deferred versus tax-free retirement accounts. From Motley Fool, 4 assumptions that could destroy your retirement. And, you know, it goes on from there. Those are just a few of those. You know, we have tons of articles there that might interest you. Then when you go to the archive section, you'll find all the how-to articles and info sheets prepared by myself and Justin. Our watch list, commodity ETFs, REITs list, hedging vehicle lists, and more. You can access your income investment information sheets there. Manage a bond portfolio, approaching retirement, fixed income opportunities. You can access any of our webinars there too. The upside of lower oil prices and global value investing. And there's more. There's lots of stuff there. Just a ton of stuff. So as an InvestTalk Insider, you have a single, quick, and easy source of information. Up-to-date news, how-to articles. It's new and vastly expanded, if I do say so myself. So take a look. If you're not an insider, just click on any one of the articles on the page and it'll help you sign up. And it's really simple. Don't need much information at all. And it's free. Okay, did I say that? So what money matter is on your mind today? I'm ready for any money questions. 888-99-CHART. Let's go to the phones and take this question from our 24-hour listen line.
Hey, Steve, this is Don from Texas. I would love your insight on my question. I'm 61 years old with a net worth of $1.9 million, which $1.2 million is in investable assets. My wife also works, and we have a combined income of $140,000. Our cost of living expenses are $60,000 a year. I plan on working another 4 years. Question I have is, should I keep my current job that pays $75,000 a year that has low stress, good work-life balance, and excellent job security, or take a promotion that will pay $110,000 a year, has high stress, poor work-life balance, and below average job security? The extra money would be great, but my biggest concern is if my new job doesn't work out, I will not be able to find employment at my age. What are your thoughts?
Man,
thanks,
that's
Steve,
a tough,
and enjoy your show.
That is a tough question. So a secure job, less stress, $75,000 or so, much less secure job, but a lot more money at 100 and whatever it was. And you got 4 years till retirement or so. Okay, if it was me, I'd probably take the secure job. Maybe I'm just not as aggressive as some other people. I probably would take it because it sounds like you have plenty of money, you know, plenty of money for retirement, going into retirement, unless that new high risk job is something that's very attractive, something fun that you think is going to be interesting, even though it's high risk, and then I would go for it. But if it's high risk and, you know, if it's just about the money, I'd stay with the low risk job. If it's just about the money, because, you know, there's a quality of life issues here. And you know, if you were 30, I would tell you in a heartbeat to take the high risk job, more money. But you're close to retirement, and you want at least that job security until you're into retirement. It's a tough question, but I think I'd stay with the less stressed job. Now, this is obviously a very personal question. You can ask me my opinion, but it's still, you know, very personal to you. So you have to decide that. Why target-dated funds are off target for many investors. And that's our main talking point today. I also want to discuss, you know, making $500,000 a year in New York City is not very much money for a family of four. I'll tell you why. $500,000, right? You would think, man, that's way plenty of money. Not necessarily, not if you live in New York City. When are you too old to manage your money? When are you too old to manage? There was a study on this by Boston College. When are you too old to manage your money? So it's a very interesting question. I mean, it's a tough question. I have personal experience with this with my father-in-law. And finally, Wall Street still stands by its stronger dollar call. Now, the dollar has been weak all this year. It really got strong after Trump got elected. But as soon as the election was over, as soon as the new year started, I should say, as soon as the new year started, the dollar started weakening. So are they're still standing by that call? Is it going to be a stronger dollar? We're going to talk about that. Those are what we're going to discuss. The market was mixed today. The Dow was down 42. The NASDAQ up 22. And the S&P up three. So the broader market had a little bit better day today. Well, that's okay. It's a very interesting market we're having here. The, you know, the smaller companies were way underperforming the bigger companies, and now it looks like it's kind of reversed in the last few days. So interesting market. 888-99-CHART is our number, 888-992-4278. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. What's your money question? What are your investing options during retirement? Should you be looking at municipal bonds for the tax advantages, or is it not enough return? 888-99-CHART is our live listener line every weekday from 4 to 5 Pacific time.
Yes, this is Randy Scott from Atlanta, Georgia. I was calling about two stocks. N as in Nancy, R as in Reagan, Z as in Zulu. NRZ, and B as in boy, X as in Xfinity, M as in Mary, T as in Tom. Just want to know what they've got great dividends. NRZ's got like 11% dividends, and BXMT has, that's Blackstone, I think, and it's got about an 8%. Just want to know how safe that was. I want to go ahead and invest in those, but would like your opinion. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, these are both REITs, real estate investment trusts, real estate investment trusts, REITs investing, the NRZ is REITs investing in residential real estate mortgage-related investments, and the BXMT is also mortgage-related for commercial properties, REIT. And don't fall in love with that dividend, please. REITs have to pay 90% of their income out in the form of a dividend. Okay, to you, the shareholders. And if they do, they don't have to pay corporate income tax. They get to pass that to you, and you get to pay income tax on that, on that dividend. Okay, now, your question is can the dividend, it's 11%, 10, 11%, can it be sustainable? Is that possible? Can it keep that high of a dividend? And most of the time, the answer is going to be no. It's not sustainable, but you know, you have to look at each individual account. Like For instance, NRZ, which is the new residential investment, as for both of these companies, if interest rates rise, it's going to be tougher and tougher to make more money. It's really, they do really well in low interest rate environments because they borrow money and then they loan it out. So they get the borrowing costs, the input costs are really, really low. So chances are good they won't be able to make as much money as they are making. For instance, NRZ made $2.14 in 2016. It's going to make $2.11 this year, 3 cents less, and $2.12 next year, one penny more. And that's the estimates. Well, if it makes $2.10 or 11 cents, and it's a $16.87 stock, then the dividend, if they make that money, is pretty secure for the time being. It's only if their input costs, their loans that they're borrowing, goes up, can they maintain a high margin, profit margin. So it's a tough situation. Looking at NRZ's chart, it's been up, 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 and up. It could stay that way as long as interest rates don't rise very much. But the Fed has promised higher rates. So that's a very difficult question going forward. It's going to be harder to make money going forward. You just got to be very, very careful. It's not that either of these stocks are bad. They're not. The one with the least amount of loans might be a better choice because, refinancing those loans and it's a tough call for this kind of industry. I'm not really keen on this industry going forward simply because interest rates are rising. Matter of fact, if you think about it, all stocks, all companies that rely on money, except for banks, rely on borrowed money, are going to have a harder time going forward. And at some point, the investors will sell them off because of that. I just can't tell you when. No one can. Coming to terms with investing, here's an investing term you should understand. What is working capital? Working capital. It's a measure of both a company's efficiency and its short-term financial health. Working capital is calculated as working capital equals current assets minus current liabilities. The working capital ratio, current assets divided by current liabilities, indicates whether a company has enough short-term assets to cover its short-term debt. Nothing to do with long-term. Anything below 1 indicates negative working capital, while anything over 2 means that the company is not investing excess assets. So don't too low and too high. It's like that Goldilocks. Most believe that a ratio between 1.2 and 2 is sufficient, also known as net working capital. Just another term you have to learn. I know, I'm throwing at them all the time. Huh? I throw them at you all the time. If you'd like to study this a little closer, go to investopedia.com and look up working capital. This is Invest Talk, everybody. I'm really, really thank you for listening today. I'm Steve Peasley. 888-99-CHART is our live listener line number. It's live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. Why target-dated funds are off-target for many investors. Target-dated funds, those are those things in your 401k that have a date, like retirement date of 2020, 2025, 2030, 2035, on and on and on. Those are target-dated funds invented by mutual fund companies, and it really benefits the mutual fund companies a lot. They are funds of funds. In other words, they are mutual funds that buy other mutual funds and put them inside. Okay, they're geared to be the buy one and just forget about it. You just buy it and don't have to worry about it. See, it's a 2040 date. You never have to worry about it because your retirement date is 2040. And this fund of funds will get more conservative as that date gets closer and closer because that's closer to your retirement date. And you don't want to be too aggressive when you're in your retirement years. That's the theory. And how they implement that get more conservative attitude as the date gets closer, is they buy bond funds. Now therein lies my problem. This automatic get buy bond funds and stay and buy and get rid of or reduce your stock funds. I don't have a problem with reducing your stock exposure, but I do have a problem with a dumb date, a certain date, moving more and more into bonds. For instance, if interest rates are rising or you're in an interest rate increasing environment, as you approach retirement, it's not that smart to buy bond funds unless maybe you have short-term bond funds, not long-term bond funds. So you have to kind of look at, well, which kind of bond funds are you getting into to get more conservative? Is there something else? Maybe a TIPS, Treasury Inflation Protected Fund, bond fund might be better. In other words, the non-thinking aspect of automatically buying something when it might be the absolutely wrong time to do it. That's what I don't like about target dates, target dated funds for retirement. Also, you know, more and more evidence coming out is it's not the smartest thing to get too conservative in your retirement years. You still need growth in those retirement years. I'm not saying you need to be aggressive. No, There's got to be some kind of balance. You want a balance. That's what I'm suggesting. And I have a program called the Balanced Income Fund, so maybe I'm prejudiced, but you still want to be balanced whether you hire me or somebody else. Or do it yourself, which can be doable. You can do that. I have no problem with it. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Thompson, our list of our priorities is always your calls. So bring your questions to us anytime you want, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. This is Dave. I'm a podcast listener from Pennsylvania. I'm calling about AKRX, Acorn Pharmaceuticals. I bought this a while ago, maybe 6 months or so ago. I've watched it. It's been pretty volatile, up and down, at least since November. And I actually wanted to get into Target or processed food stock, and but I'd like to take profit from this and use that. I was ready to do that a few days ago, but I noticed that it hit another spike, and it's approaching a 200-day moving average, and a trend line looks like it's going to hit some significant resistance right around where it's at. I was hoping to see Acorn go up to, you know, 30 or 35 before I sold it, but I'm just wondering if it's going to hit this and drop back down. So since Target and B&G Foods looks kind of appealing to me now, I'm wondering if this is a fair trade, taking profit now and buying these guys when they're cheap. So if you wouldn't mind, just let me know your thoughts on Acorn. I'd appreciate it. Thanks again. Bye.
Okay, AKRX, Acorn Inc., develops pharmaceuticals in specialty areas such as the, well, I won't even, inhalants, topicals, injectables, those kinds of things. It made $2.25, which was a peak in 2016. That was a peak in earnings, $2.25 per share. 2017, it's going to make $1.63, and then in 2018, $1.77. So it peaked, and that was it. Notice the stock has fallen since last August. It fell all the way down to close to $18 and, what, 25 cents or so, $18.50. And that was in February. It did it in December and then retested that low in February, which is a double bottom. December and February, almost exact same price, bounced off. And then just recently, it broke above the two tops it made coming off those two bottoms. So now it looks like, and you're right, it's right up against the 200-day moving average, and that's going to be difficult for it to break. And there's a lot of resistance from $26, $27, and it's at $24.46. So you got some issues that's going to be difficult for it to break through. And sales have been falling. Sales growth has been falling. Let me put it that way. Sales growth. It only grew 1% in the most recent quarter we have, which was December. And before that was 11% growth. Quarter to quarter, that was 27 and 18 and 38%. So, you know, the sales growth kind of fell. So you got to find out why that's happening. Okay, that would be something. They just received FDA approval for a particular drug, and that's probably why it rose. I think you just put a tight stop and you keep following it, just in case it keeps rising. It might break through that 200-day moving average. It might break through. You don't know for sure, but so put a stop. Follow it up with a stop. And right now, I think that I put that stop at $23. It's at $24.46. I think that's where I put it right now. If it breaks above the 200-day moving average, I move my stop up the 200-day moving average, which is 25.10 right now, if it breaks above it. In other words, you move your stop up as the stock goes up. So that way, just in case, that's what I probably would do. We're looking at the halfway mark of this Wednesday afternoon Invest Talk. Right now, let's hear your money questions, 888-99-CHART.
InvestTalk continues next. A couple of words for KPP Financial. Their new program called Active 401k is getting attention. It enables employees to make smart choices or smarter choices in their employer's 401k plans. So if you're frustrated by your 401k's performance and your limited time to do research, Active 401k might just be the solution for you. It gives you a way to maximize your account. This program is offered by invitation to KPP clients and a limited number of our InvestTalk listeners. Again, it's called Active 401k. And if you'd like to see more about it, just go to investtalk.com, click on the Investments tab, and then look for Active 401k. And now more InvestTalk. InvestTalk continues on. Next time, to determine which investments are right for you, familiarize yourself with the differences, ETF versus mutual fund, how to choose. That's one of our topics next time on InvestTalk. We hope you can join us.
A quick question about the Master Limited Partnership. There are many of them available that pay fairly good dividends. How do I go about finding a good company, solid company? I'm very interested in the dividend, but I'm very concerned about safety, preservation of capital.
Master Limited Partnerships, they do pay good dividends. You got to be careful of the tax consequences of many of them. The tax consequences are they can even be taxable in a retirement account. So, yeah, if you get 1099s or K-1 partnership or 1099, if you get K-1s, that's income tax that you got to put on your income tax. So be careful of the tax structure. And the only way to find out is you got to ask and then talk to your accountant on those. How, you know, just like any other stock, when you're doing Master Limited Partnerships, just like anything else, there's certain statistics, certain fundamentals that you have to look at to see if they are worth it. And you compare one Master Limited Partnership with another Master Limited Partnership doing the same type of thing. And, you know, one of the things you really concentrate on is debt. You don't want to carry a lot of debt in these things. Right now, I'm not too keen in them, even though they do pay high dividends. They're being very attractive. Same as REITs, they're very attractive because of the high dividends. I'm just not sure anybody who uses a lot of debt that's going to be the place you want to be. Because we have the rising interest rate environment, there might be better places to be. Having said that, I'm not against any Master Limited Partnerships. I cannot tell you which ones I would or would not buy. You can ask me a question about one, and I'll answer it. But as far as there's nothing wrong with them as an investment vehicle, just got to understand the tax structure, understand the fundamentals, and then buy them at the proper price. Don't try to chase performance. Don't do that. That never works out. And you take it from there. 888-99-CHART, $500,000 salary. You would think that would be plenty of money anywhere in the United States. Well, it's not quite plenty of money in New York City, according to a recent article I was reading. First of all, if you made $500,000, this is for a hypothetical family of four, if you made $500,000, you only ended up getting $278,400. Now, that's still a lot of money, right? But that's what you're ending up with, $278,400, after you pay your taxes, all the taxes. New York City has a really high income tax rate, you know. So you have the state and federal income tax and all the city income tax, then you get all the other little. So you ended up with $278,400. Well, if you have two children that need child care, because you're going to be, that's a two-family income, that's going to cost you about $42,000 a year in New York City. Mortgage, average mortgage in New York City might be around for a decent place. We're not talking about a cheap place, but a decent place that, you know, your $500,000 should be able to handle is about $60,000 a year. So you already spent $100,000 on those two things of your $178,000. $20,000 in property tax. Then you start adding vacations and maybe student loans for colleges, maybe, and putting money in your 401ks, Food alone would be about $23,000, $24,000. You're talking about you'll spend every dime of that $500,000. You will. You think you're rich, but you're not. But the government will certainly tell you you're rich, and they'll certainly increase your taxes if you will let them, because you would be rich in their mind. Now, if you took that same money and lived in Missoula, Montana, or Kansas City, maybe it'll go a heck of a lot further. I know it would go tremendously a lot further in Texas. So it depends on where you are. But now we're talking about New York City. Same thing in Silicon Valley in the San Jose area. Just buying property up there, it's really expensive. Really expensive. Now, I'm not bemoaning anybody making $500,000. That's really good money, okay? That's a ton of money. But in New York City, it's always where you are. And what do things cost where you are? And I know a lot of you out there say, well, just move to someplace cheap. Well, then they wouldn't make the $500,000, would they? Right? They're not going to make that kind of money someplace inexpensive. We're going to get those kind of jobs. How much risk is in your retirement portfolio right now? Do you have a clue? And risk is essential to growing a portfolio. You've got to take risk. But how much is too much for you? If you take our free risk analysis quiz, it's just a few questions, it'll help you understand how much risk you feel comfortable with. Because I will report, once you take it, it comes directly to me. I respond to that risk and tell you what it is in relationship to the market, what it is in relationship to what you should do, that kind of thing. Now, if you'd like to find more, it's a fun kind of quiz to take. Just go to investtalk.com, investtalk.com. Just click on the Invest Talk tab.
Is it time for a checkup? We'll check in with Steve. He has some new dates for Northern California. Each month, he sets aside these one-hour blocks to review retirement portfolios, and he'll be in San Jose April 5th, and then San Ramon April 25th. And of course, no matter where you live, you can take advantage of these checkups by Skype or telephone. Just go to investtalk.com and look for the Invest Talk tab, and then Portfolio Review.
Hello, this is Mark in Hilliard, Ohio. I was wondering if you could look at a stock, Barrick, A as an apple, B as in boy, X as an X-ray, and let me know what you think the fair value is there. Thank you very much. Have a good day.
Okay, this is Barrick Gold Corporation. ABX is the symbol, and we happen to own this in one of our managed accounts. It's a Canadian company engaged in the production of gold and copper in Canada, U.S., Peru, Chile, and 8 other countries. It's a $22 billion company. It's pretty big. And if you look at the numbers, you look at the earnings, you say, man, look at the sales, and you say, man, sales have been falling for like 8 quarters in a row, except for the most recent one, where sales grew 4%. Why did sales fall for all the time? Well, weakness of gold prices would be one reason. They made 70 cents a share in 2016. That was over double what they made the year before, but not much more than the year before that. So they made 70 cents a share in 2016. They're going to make 82 cents in 2017, then 86 cents a share in 2018. It's a $19 stock. Okay, so that means it's a 20 PE based on those numbers. 20. So you're saying, well, gee, that's not cheap. Well, what do you think gold is going to do? That's really the question. We're returning equities kind of on the low side, 11%. Not too bad. Good cash flow, though, $2.05. So they have had really strong cash flow. So at a $22 billion market cap, they could weather most anything. And their alpha is 0.18, meaning it's a very low volatility stock, or has been. The beta is minus 0.26. So it's like 75% of the volatility of the S&P 500. Debt has about 130% in debt, which is not too bad. So we kind of like it because of the gold and the bigness of the company, the security. It's moved up sharply from $14 where it bounced here to end of last year. It had a pretty good year last year. I mean, this stock was at $6, $7 in 2015. And we've owned this stock for a year and a half. So we've had a really nice run last year in it. And, you know, so far it just has been okay this year. The question is, what do you think gold's going to do? Is inflation going to push it up? Is our dollar going to get weaker? Those kinds of things. Really, as far as a solid company, it's very solid. It only pays a tiny dividend, so that doesn't really matter. It's what do you think gold is going to do? It's a good stock to ride the gold price if it goes up. ABX. 888-99-CHART. So when are you too old to manage your own money? This was a study put out by Boston College, Center for Retirement at Boston College. And they say as long as there is no cognitive impairment, means your brain is still fine. You're not, you know, you don't have Alzheimer's or you don't have, you know, dementia. You can do it into your 70s and 80s. That's what they said, according to this report. Now, I don't know the details of the report, how they study this or anything else. Now, one of the areas that have the most problems is if you have a spouse and that spouse dies and they're the one who kind of knew everything there is about the money, the surviving spouse should not try to manage their money. Now, from a personal note, I have a father-in-law who's 90 who still manages his affairs, his financial affairs, and that's exactly why he has absolutely no money. But I don't know if it has anything to do with his old age, if you want to know the truth. I just think he's a terrible guardian of his own finances from the day I met him 30-plus years ago. But so some people just shouldn't be making decisions concerning money. Just shouldn't. You know, if you have one of those get-rich-quick scheme minds, you always think you're going to make a lot of money quickly if you just do a right deal, then you'll probably be broke in your retirement years. It's my experience, Ben. Those people who think they can make it rich quick generally don't, and they end up broke because they don't plan for the long term. They don't take the slow, steady road. They want that fast road that goes over the cliff quite often. We're here for you, beginner experienced investors, at 888-99-CHART. If you're a podcast listener and can't reach us during the live program, still call us. We're live 4-5 Pacific time, but you can call us anytime you want. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, about financials, is this a good place to short financials? Thanks for the information, guys.
Is this a good point? Shorting, by the way, everybody, is you're predicting that the price will go down. Okay, it's the function of buying the stock. Well, first, let me rephrase that. It's a function of borrowing the stock from somebody else and selling their stock, hoping that it'll go down, and then you can buy it at a lower price to give it back to them. That's what shorting is. And the banks have had really good runs, right? And he's thinking, well, the banks have had these great runs. Maybe it's time to short them. Well, the problem with that is the banks are having really good runs because the fundamentals are looking better for them. They do better in a rising interest rate environment. They like this rise because the interest rates are so low, they have trouble making money too. If the interest rates go up, they can make more money. Remember, they borrow low from the Federal Reserve and lend high. As long as the rising interest rate environment doesn't hurt the economy, they'll do well. Should you short? I don't like to short anything that makes money. I like to short things that don't make money. Shorting is a very difficult thing to do. I would not recommend it for the average person because you really have to understand what you're doing. And you have to really be strict about getting out of your short. Remember, the act of getting out of a short is the act of buying the stock back. And that's why you hear the term short squeeze, where there's a lot of shorts on a particular stock, a lot of shorting stocks that have been shorted for that company. And all of a sudden it starts to move up and up and up. Remember, as it goes up in price, you're losing more and more money because you got to get back that stock. So you short it at a certain price, and if it goes up, you're losing money. What happens is it goes up and up and up, shorts get squeezed. They lose more and more money. They start to get squeezed and get out. The act of getting out, again, is buying, and that pushes the stock even higher. You're squeezing the shorts and pushing the stock higher. So you really got to be careful about shorting, everybody. You do it very gingerly. In general, I don't know if I would short banks at this point. I don't think they're overpriced enough. There are certain stocks that I think are really overpriced. You know, and you've heard me talk about them. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Wall Street still stands by the stronger dollar call. Okay, Citigroup, Deutsche Bank, both say that the dollar, and have been saying for some time, that the dollar is going to rise against the euro and the yen, while the dollar has done nothing but fall this year. The dollar's gone down this year. Now, from when Trump was elected to the beginning of this year, the dollar was going up and up and up. But after the new year, the dollar has been falling. Why? Well, because Europe and Japan, you've heard me say this, look a little bit better. They don't look great. I'm not pretending that, oh, everything's wonderful there. No. But they have realized that their weak money policy really hasn't helped them that much. So they've changed what they're doing, or at least starting to change what they're doing. They still, Europe, EU, the ECB, European Central Bank, is still buying bonds. But they have signaled that, you know, they're not going to try to push their currency weaker. And we've seen the economy's getting a little bit better. That means that the euro would get a little stronger against the dollar. But if we get stronger ourselves and we're raising interest rates, that would support a stronger dollar. By the way, Goldman Sachs also agrees that the dollar is going to get stronger. So that's what they think. Now, that's the experts. You know what I think about experts? They seem to always be wrong. You have to decide for yourself. I kind of think the dollar is going to be stuck in a trading range. I don't think it's going to really take off or fall. So, just my opinion. You're listening to Invest Talk. I'm glad you're here today. Don't save the questions. I don't want you to save them up. We still can fit you in the last quarter of an hour, last part of the show. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve, or Jeff, and this is Joseph from the Bay Area. I'm one of your regular listeners of your program. Can you share your wisdom about Corning, GLW, Corning? I'm looking to buy for a long term, so a year for a year or two. Let me know what your wisdom is regarding about Corning. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, first let's talk about what's long term. A year or two, I don't consider that very long. So just so you know, to me, long term means years. So this you're gonna kind of hold it for a medium of term, but not a long term. Corning, if it's 1 to 2 years, manufactures glass substrates for LCDs and optical. You know Corning, the Corningware kind of people. They're going to make $1.68 this year, $1.82 next year, up about 8% year after year. Sales are growing about 10%, so it's pretty decent, you know. But their five-year average PE is 9 to 18, and they're trading right at 18. And based on next year's after even growth, it's going to be around $14, $15, which is kind of in the middle of their range. So there's nothing about it that makes me very excited. It's already run up quite a bit from the $16 range to the $26 range. $27, so, and that was within the last year. So it's already run up. I wouldn't buy it at this stage. I would not. Too high. Notice in the month of March, it pretty much did what the market did, kind of fell a little bit. So Corning is not something, GLW is a symbol. It's a great company, pays 2.3% dividend. It's a really well-run company, but you want to buy it on sale. You want to buy it when no one else wants to buy it. And the problem is when stocks do that, no one wants to buy it, not even you who've been looking at it. So I think I'd wait, you know, at least for until we get a decent correction. Then you could buy it. And don't be afraid to buy it when it has a decent correction. Let's go to Bobby in Atlanta. How you doing, Bobby?
Hey, good, Steve. How you doing?
I'm good. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it.
Sure. Sealed Air Products, S as a Sam, E as an Echo, E as an Echo. I want to buy some.
You want to buy it? You like this company?
Yeah.
Manufactured packaging. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Bobby?
No, go ahead. Sorry.
No, No problem. It manufactures packaging and related materials and systems for food, industrial, medical, and consumer application. I actually like that sphere, Bobby. I like it because it's a solid consumer kind of company that's really, it's very cyclical. But if we can get the company, the economy to grow a bit stronger, it will be very supportive of this company. The problem you have with it is sales have been falling slowly, even though the fall of sales is getting smaller. It fell 1% last quarter, and then 2% the quarter before that, 3% the quarter before that. The earnings are going to rebound in 2018 to $3.02 a share. So that means that a $43 stock is going to make $3 a share. Well, then you're looking at a fairly reasonable value. I think it's pretty cheap based on its history. It's been a 15 to 25 PE range, and, you know, 3 into 43 is 14, 15, so it's right at the low. Return on equity is very high at 93%, which is really good. Pays a minor dividend. Has a lot of debt, Bobby. That would probably
Yeah, that's the only thing I don't like, the debt.
Yeah, that's a concern. Why do they have so much debt? Do they buy another company and that's what put them in the debt? You know,
they bought something and they sold something, or they are selling something for like $2 billion next month or something.
$3.2 billion, yeah. They're selling Bain Capital. That'd be my only concern, would be that debt. Not even the slow sales. I think that will turn around if the economy gets better. But that debt is the only thing that worries me. Only thing, because then that's could be the reason why it's a high return on equity. It was a huge amount of debt. See, it's not a good thing when the return on equity is very high, but it's based on a lot of debt that they use, which they count as equity. So, I'd be careful about that debt. That's the big red flag I see, Bobby. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. 888-99-CHART 888-992-42 Oh man, our time is up already. Time goes by fast when you're having fun, everybody. So the time is, we're done. I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley, President of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. You can reach me directly with a question or comment anytime. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve. It's an email that comes directly to me, and I will get back to you, I promise. On behalf of Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thanks for being with us today, and let's plan on doing it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.